Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Joe Olson, Houston, Texas, Chris Weinert, Parts Unknown, Need to Know News, Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. Let's take a look at those topics and get opening statements. We're going to the war, three of those. Trump assassination attempt, six of those. Is Biden dead? Two of those. And to point out, public education is going to be corporate media to our children, associated to the leading national figure, the American Federation of Teachers boss, having something to say to demonize Trump. Meanwhile, with Cackling Kamala, election optics, and three updates with COVID. Joe, opening statement, brother.
A great guy, Brian Barrick, that has New Atlas has an article out, and in order to make it easier for people to access, he reads the article. It's a 27-minute long video. The West is learning the wrong lessons on air power in Ukraine, and the problem is that he brings up these articles that are written in state media, you know, The Economist and Atlantic, and all these bullshit propaganda Mockingbird operations, and they keep repeating the things about, well, Russia had almost no coordinated air defense, not like the United States. We go in and just pound the crap out of everybody, and that's why we win every war. No, we don't win any war. We haven't won any war since World War II. So quit telling that little fucking fairy tale. But then the next thing is they go on and on about how Russia didn't have the ability to coordinate their strike forces. And the problem was that they were hoping that they did a little bit of display of force, that they were willing to use force, that somebody in Ukraine would say, gee, we're all Slavs. We go to the same church. We almost speak the same language. We got the same written language. Why don't we just speak? And we traded with each other for 60 years. Why don't we try to solve our problems by enforcing the Minsk 1 and 2 agreements and not be killing each other? But instead, no, we have to go in there and say, oh man, we'll do the same thing to Russia that we did to Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Libya. And, you know, and now that we're doing in Yemen and Gaza, it's like, we'll just provide you plenty of weapons and you can pound the crap out of the Russians and then we'll win. And it's like, what a bunch of idiots. So now it's gotten to the point where Zelensky is saying that we probably should have a negotiated peace and we're willing to give up 30% of our real estate. Great little interview today with Alex Christophers, and he said that they fought the last battle in Donbass, that Russians have already taken over every strategic point that was left in the Donbass. So now they've gotten to the point where the regions that voted to exit Ukraine governance and join the Russian Federation as independent states have now been liberated by the Russian special military operations. And they have mastered the current field military strategy. And they are absolutely beyond the capability of NATO or the United States to control at this point. So hopefully, we'll see an end to this gunboat diplomacy hegemony.
Hopefully. Chris, opening statement, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that, of course, both sides are completely controlled and run by Jewish bankers. I'd like to point out that BRICS was a Goldman Sachs initiative from June 2001. I'd like to point out that many people, including Jared Bernstein, wrote thesis papers about the de-dollarization as the primary reserve currency and basically transitioning to what we're seeing now, the technocratic feudal tokenization of all assets. This is an absolute takeover. This is a new feudal system, and it's done by controlled opposition. And by doing so, you can lower the status quo without conflict or without wars or even having wars where you're disputing over, you know, direct geography or food supplies like the non-GMO wheat supply of the world, or even pipeline areas or natural gas, things of the sort. Long story short, though, this is in fact a resource grab and a complete and total controlled opposition, lowering of the expectation of the people and the status quo and the standard. It is about adapting us to this new system, and it's a race for the prize that everybody seems to be pushing on and using all sides of the military industrial complexes. And I'd also like to point out that much of Russia's military has been built to the success that it has from the espionage of U.S. patents and technologies that have been turned over, same with China. And these guys have pretty much taken this intellectual property and produced it themselves and are doing so cheaper, better, faster. And it's because of the investment of the people that were a part of the military-industrial complex. They need to have two sides of this war. And in order to do that, they got to build Russia and China up as they've done since the 80s and 90s. So, yeah, this, in my opinion, is part of the end of empire, part of the transition to new empire. And I don't think it's at all a natural occurrence. And I think the diplomacy and the theatrics that we've seen have been very indicative of that, how we've been thrust into this predicament so recklessly by the supposed Biden administration. And once they've used their utility, they've been replaced in you know what, Hillary's going to come back, or Big Mike, or Kamala, or any of these people. You know, so this is a fucking joke going back and forth with both of these APAC-controlled parties, and it's the same around the world. So, yeah, I think this is Masonic theater. It's like using the four corners of the world like they did in the ancient times in the same way they're doing now. And they're pushing us towards the rise of the new Atlantis.
It is a joke, and I'll put in the notes here a bit to the article series that I have that explains documents and proves that the U.S. cannot be described as limited government underneath a constitution upholding inalienable rights, but is best described as a lying, looting, Orwellian illegal, rogue state empire. And all you're ever going to get is virtue signaling and a reliance upon some narrative of the United States being the greatest country in the world when it is the most dangerous empire. And the data support that, as usual.
One thing that Brian did mention that I forgot to mention in opening statements was that they like to claim that we used effective air power in Vietnam. Yeah, we dumped more bombs on Laos than any other place on the planet up until Gaza, which we probably dumped more there. But also, during the 20 years that we were in Vietnam, we lost 10,000 airplanes and helicopters. So if that's the proper perspective of air power projection, it's like, how many times can you lose 10,000 airplanes and helicopters and their flight crews, you know? Because this is an absolutely savage way of thinking you're winning the war just by not reporting your losses. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and so
trillions, Joe, 35 trillion to fund the Zionist crusades.
Yeah,
it's a joke. It's a joke. And, you know, as a historian, I just like to keep on referencing the history. And the Vietnam War is one of the chapters in my article series, The 11 Parts of the Rogue State Empire. The U.S. approved the cancellation of an election to unify that country. And then we demonized Ho Chi Minh as some sort of a communist when he was going to be the elected democratic head of state for that country. It is just Orwellian. There's and part of the take that I have is that, yeah, the crime du jour, the war du jour, that all that stuff, I mean, God bless anybody who goes in and deep dives into that. I've done enough of that myself, but the historical record is clear enough that you don't have to put up with any of this shit anymore. Just demand their arrests for the already demonstrated wars of aggression and poverty murders and bankster looting and corporate media lying and now COVID crimes against humanity, crimes against children. It goes on and on and on. All right. Trump assassin. Oh, no, we haven't gone to the war. To the war. Gaza is the most single defining feature of this political moment in the U.S., and Caitlin Johnstone has a good take on that. And it's basically that you gotta define the most important political issues is that what affects the greatest number of people and the highest quality of life. And it is hard to not accept Caitlin's argument that you gotta count the wars first. It's the most amount of money and the most amount of deaths. Netanyahu's speech to Congress is a desperate ploy to rally support for genocide. That's on Friday. That I hope that's going to be or no, that one's tonight. And then he's meeting with Trump on Friday at Mar-a-Lago. And that should be interesting. So a lot of interesting optics. I am encouraged by the hint of possible reversals with Trump. Now, got a little bit of hint of that. RFK3 leaked Trump's call to RFK2, where Trump said, oh, there's something wrong with the whole thing with vaccines. That would be interesting. Responding favorably to the Palestinian head of state's letter to Trump, saying that, I'm sorry that a bullet almost hit you, brother. So we shall see. We shall see. Joe, your thoughts?
Last night guest on Coast to Coast AM, which I only occasionally listen to now because I can fall asleep listening to the internet easier, and I don't have to put up with being preempted by baseball and basketball and football games. It's ridiculous to try to do AM radio nowadays. But anyhow, last night they had Dane Whittington, who was talking about the chemtrails, and he's wrong on a few things scientifically, but he's done an enormous amount of research, and now it's proven that they're adding mRNA toxins. Gates is funding the addition of mRNA to the chemtrails. So they're just basically trying to poison the entire planet. So whatever they haven't gotten with direct injections and internalizing in the way of food, you'll be able to absorb through your water and air that you breathe. These people are absolutely demonic, and they're anti-human and they're anti-life. And I can't wait for the trials to begin and has to have mass executions of these people, because that's the only way you can deal with this type of psychopaths.
AMRV 2 World War 3, we're being poisoned, tortured, and mind controlled. We are acting in self-defense against a rogue state empire. Chris, your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I think they're really attempting to introduce more plausible suspects for these sources of infections, these mRNA recombinants and things of the sort, the technocratic feudalism, the neural link, these are all tied together. In the pure absence of justice or recourse, they're attempting this. And I think Joel's absolutely right that the reason that this is happening again is because we didn't sort this out the last time it happened. And I think if there's ever been a time, it's now. I think after 2001 and 9/11 and that whole fiasco, and then of course the 2008 bailouts, and then COVID was an even bigger bailout than the TARP and QE3s of 2008 in the real estate one. So, this is really, the bankers taking over the world's resources, buying everything on margin, and using our pensions to do it. Things through BlackRock or Vanguard. These guys are literally fueling and funding our own subjugation through our pension funds, which in my opinion are either being used maliciously or completely gone or replaced with toxic derivatives in the first place. So people are kind of extorted against that by the state in terms of retaliation, recourse, or revolution even. So yeah, I think almost these guys are pushing for it because they can just wipe the slate clean and then blame it on, foist the blame onto the actual principled citizens that stand up to their obvious perverse tyranny.
Yeah, with the pension funds, I'll put in the show notes here a bit to the financial article that I have. But I took a look at the CAFRs, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report of the County of Los Angeles, the City of Los Angeles, and the State of California. And I looked into those pensions. And what I found out in 2012 is that the $600 billion that is invested allegedly to pay for those pension funds has a net income to those pension funds, $600 million invested. Now, teacher and me can't resist to ask our audience, okay, so if 600, no, 600 billion was being invested, the net return, care to guess how many billions? 600 billion invested. The net return? One. 1 billion. We paid the Wall Street investors who gave us that advice of how to invest the money, we gave them 2 billion. That was the net rate of return, because what you got to do is the financial strategy is about selling debt securities and buying debt securities. So you have to take all that into account. And I remember as a dumbass teacher, before I looked at the CAFR, I would just read these obfuscating reports and, roll my eyes at it. And I would look and they'd be all excited about how this value of the stocks in the investments go up and up and up. And as a percentage every year, they would tout that, but nobody was asking the question that I asked going in, which is how much fucking money is being paid to the pensions. And that 1 billion net ends up being 5% of the total cost. So the taxpayers are paying 95% anyway. So whether it's gone or not, I don't know, it's all bullshit scheme anyway. It's a gangster ploy to, oh yeah, your donations will go help feed the children, the needy children, and they're skimming 95% off of the top and giving 5% to the kids. That's what it actually looks like.
Yeah, every time they underwrite a derivative, that's basically what they're doing is taking legitimate money and putting shit in its place. And you know, they're just kicking the shit pyramid down down the Ponzi, and eventually it's gonna all come due, and they're gonna not be able to keep pumping into this thing. So it's gonna be bad news when that happens and the music stops, and a lot of people that are in a position where they can't afford it are gonna get severely hurt, especially those that have no idea this is coming or can't even see it coming and refuse to acknowledge its presence. I think those people are gonna really get hit the hardest because they're probably the ones most dependent on these resources that are gonna be completely yanked. I think, like I said, 2008, they should have nailed these guys for all this bullshit back then. Instead, they quadrupled down on it. Morgan's got 60-something trillion, Citigroup 60-something trillion in derivatives. That is insane. That is an unimaginable amount of money. And to think that, you know, these top four houses have over 200 trillion in these things, Lord knows what they really have, because that's just what they have to report in our reporting. I think there's a lot of other financial instruments that they've created that are completely more diabolical. And I think that if you factor all those in, it's in the quadrillions, safe to guess. And I don't think I'm out on a limb suggesting this. And I think when they finally realize the extent and the magnitude of the embezzlement and the corruption and the collusion and greed, these guys are going to have a real hard time spending that ill-gotten money. And more importantly, I think you're going to see a return to a gold or silver standard that's going to put these guys out in the streets too, finally, for once. So I think that's the way we do it. Back to a sound money thing and call their shorts and smash their puts and just crush these guys, you know? People are just getting duped by their BlackRock and their bullshit all the time, their NVIDIA. You know, people are funding their own subjugation, like I said. It is absolutely puzzling to me that nobody really looks into this. I don't know. Sorry, guys, I'm rambling.
No, I think that's our job as messengers, and we don't have any power other than the ability to
Yeah.
deliver a message. But yeah, it's tragic comic, and I think it's got to break. And beyond the kick in the nuts that it is going to be for a paper collapse, nothing real in the economy is affected. What's real in the economy is our entrepreneurial genius, our labor, and the natural resources. If we can get rid of the parasite, ooh, Star Trek-like future. But until we do, it's all at risk. Who's in charge is the key question. Yeah, brother.
Another one I was going to point out, and I'm sure I think I maybe brought this example up before, and if I did, I don't mean to be redundant, but in 1963, minimum wage was $1.25. Think about that in 90% silver terms. If you had five quarters that are 90% silver, pre-64, basically the value of silver to this day would be like over $32. So if you really think about that, your minimum wage is somewhere around 28 to 30 bucks, you know, according to inflation, if you measure it in silver terms. So really, you're not going to lose in terms of wealth or wealth preservation or even some money or through the devaluation of inflation and even taxation itself. These things, in my opinion, are pure theft. And the people that are putting this conspiracy and this swindle on humanity are the crooks that are doing all this bullshit. They're trying to eliminate the carbon, which are the people that have funded this. It's basically what they're doing to their marks. They're throwing them into a giant sacrificial pit. And this mRNA recombinant thing, this Depop thing, this Deagle population, World Bank population expectation, these guys have planned this since the 80s and 90s, probably even longer. And the fact that nobody wants to connect the dots or the people that have are being made fun of or ridiculed or just relegated to a murmur by the MAGA Orange Crush or whatever you want to call it, the woke before that. You know, people are fanatics, but eventually they're going to have to snap out of this fugue state and really take their lives back, or they are going to literally be sacrificed. And you know, the people doing it will have no compunctions about doing so. And the people that tried to warn them, these guys are being weaponized against us in many ways that are just so diabolical. I don't know what else to say. This is truly good versus evil. And I think, you know, whoever wants to pick a side in this, you really have to do your research, or else you're going to be picking the wrong side.
Yeah, it's not boring, that's for sure. We've been promised 20-hour work weeks since the 50s, and we get an
Yeah, but you
opportunity.
understand that bullshit, Carl. You remember 30-hour work weeks, higher wages, automation? Do you see any shit like that happening there? That's a joke.
No, they turned it into a race to the bottom.
So if you really think about it, if you were getting a dollar and a quarter, that's five quarters per hour at $30 per quarter. You should be making $150 per hour. That's how much
So
they've
Joe,
been
the
able to
quarters are
steal
like
with you.
$6.50 a piece, just so you know. So that's like $30 with all of them together.
Oh, that's right. It's silver dollars. That's what I'm thinking. Silver dollars. So
Yeah,
30 plus,
definitely. Just
plus,
yep, just to make sure on that. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So $36 per
But
hour
still,
should
that's
be
good
what.
loot. I mean, that's a good a livable wage.
It's livable wage by today's standards. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
it's absolutely disgusting.
It is, and the key or a key data point that outlines how much we've been played is that the 0.1, so the 0.1% own more assets than the bottom 90%. So they have rigged the game. They are successful parasites, but like any parasite, they can't survive exposure. All right, let's go to the assassination attempt, quote unquote, building used by Trump shooter, owned by BlackRock, managed by ex-Pfizer executives. Now that's interesting. And for this, remember when they said Secret Service were stationed inside the buildings where the shooter tried to kill Trump? Here's a look through their windows. They could have shot him with a pistol. And that's true. Or the shots could have come from that window.
Remember Trump said he could go out to Madison Avenue and shoot four or five people and get away with it? This is kind of like, you think the people he's in cahoots with for Warp Speed and the vax rollout and all this shit are going to suddenly turn page and try to whack him? Or do you think they're part of the WWF script and they're building the street credibility?
I just see it as all script. And we'll talk about that as we go. Deep state in panic mode, the botched assassination and burgeoning palace coup, second smartest guy in the world. And this is a good overview article about it with the factors that are causing the whole world to be watching. Now, for me as well, I got another haircut today, and the barbers that I go to, they were all over talking about these topics. And one of the barbers, the owner, former Marine, said, "All right, so here's something that I notice is that this new guy playing Biden with the smaller forehead and whatever earlobes he has white hair." He said, and I said, "Uh-huh." He says, "The Biden who was vice president had gray hair. Barbers know. Your hair doesn't fucking turn from gray to white. It's either white or it's gray." I thought that was an interesting point. 92% of Kamala Harris's staff left her in the first 3 years as VP. That is stunning. And then Tulsi just laid her out in 2020. I'll play this again just because it's a few seconds and it's important to put this into context if Kamala is going to be the chump that the DNC want.
To the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting Black and Brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris.
And we have here.
So, if you think about that notion, right? After NAFTA, who comes through with the for-profit prisons, the tough on drug laws, all this shit, right? While they're outsourcing all these jobs and then shipping in drugs to these inner city communities and running the COINTEL program as well against these people and the JTTF and everything else. And then on top of that, it continues on for what, decades? They start a slave labor corporation for all the stuff that they need made, and then they skim out of those contracts. They're using, like I said, these people that they probably wrongfully incarcerated to maintain a private profit prison quota. And then, of course, in accordance to the contract, they get kickbacks for that. And then, of course, the labor company gives them kickbacks, the production company kickbacks. You know, so I mean, like, you're seeing the entire brown and black community being turned out by these very same people that they're championing their patronage from. So I don't really get it, you know, and sadly, I think people fall for the emotion in the fits of despair. That's sad to say.
That's the deal, is that they're emotionally polarized instead of mentally polarized. When I was teaching down in the hood in South Central LA or in Central LA, the students would tell me, Mr. Herman, the big drug deals, the cops, and suits, they help facilitate those deals. I want to play this short clip of Joe Biden casually hinting that Barack is a homosexual.
Got tested for AIDS. There's no shame. I know Barack got tested for AIDS. There's no shame in being tested for AIDS. It's an important thing because the fact of the matter is in the community's engaged in denial. They're engaged in denial. No one wants to talk about it in the community, and we do not have enough leaders in the community and outside the community demanding we face the reality, confront the men in the community, as well as the women, letting them know there are alternatives.
Thank you.
Travis.
This COVID mRNA mutation from the vax in 20, 30 years.
Here, let me give Barack his punchline here, his return to try to counter that.
I just got to make clear, I got tested with Michelle. When we were in Kenya and Africa, so I want to.
All right.
I don't want any confusion here.
All right.
About what's going on.
And I got tested to save my life because I had 13 pints of blood
with my wife.
And
all right, Chris, what are you talking about, brother?
You didn't hear it? I was saying, what do you think they're going to call the mRNA contamination from the vaccine in 20, 30 years? Just like they kind of pushed the AIDS thing out. They manufactured that. And the same guys that are pushing COVID were the guys behind this shit, too. And, I think these are all biowarfare weapons that are being developed and then released into the counterculture and then being supposedly eliminated by Big Pharma Gollum hoax snake oil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a big industry.
Yeah.
You know, there's two tiers of healthcare, just like there's two tiers of justice.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's two tiers of the narratives that we get. One is that this is Barack Obama's alleged mother, probably a CIA asset. Most people still don't know this. And then, you know, it just goes on and on with the background of this. Yeah. And it looks like the White House gets caught. I may have this in another article, but that the Biden audio call to Kamala was matched with 98% likely as just a cloning tool. So this is a good overview article of what happened with the assassination. We have George Webb taking a look at the cell phone data and finding out that somebody who was visiting the alleged crooks was also in business in Washington, D.C. and other key addresses. And that, I think, is going to turn out to be significant in the unveiling of this script. We have the dog that didn't bark. And that is that this guy is pointing out, where are the official 10 a.m. press briefings updates every day on the investigation of the assassination? Where are the official press conferences from the Secret Service, FBI, and law enforcement answering questions and providing information from the prior day's investigative results? Where are the organized and official updates to let the American people know what has been found out about the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump? The absence of official press briefings has been the dog that didn't bark. And that is a big deal that they're silent. They're trying to ride it out. And then Joe sent this. This is Tucker Carlson's take. I'll play that.
It seems like he's got a van, explosives, a bicycle, a rifle.
A drone.
A ladder, a drone.
A rangefinder.
A rangefinder. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. And the guy knew this was coming. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing. He's buying the ladder that morning. And he's making a shot that everyone is sort of, I know everyone's like, oh, it's not 140 yards, not that far. I think it was 140 yards.
It's a boot camp shot.
Yeah, boot camp shot. Still, I don't know. I fired that rifle yesterday. You know, you kind of have to.
With no scope.
He had no scope.
No scope, iron rails.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's also sophisticated. It seems.
Right. Joe, your comments, brother.
It's possible to do a fairly good group at a short range with iron sights, but doubtful. And especially, you know, when you add that amount of distance and a little bit of wind, because the flag was moving that day, kids. So there was a little bit of wind. But as interesting as the grilling of Cheadle was on Monday that forced her to resign after getting grilled by multiple House committees, there's an interesting one going on today. I didn't get to watch all of it because I wanted to do the Need to Know show. But Christopher Wray was being grilled by Matt Gaetz, and he's great. House Judiciary Committee. And Wray admitted that the OIG of the DHS is doing the primary investigation at this point. And Gaetz said, that's the OIG that's been very critical of the Biden administration. Sure would be a shame if Biden decided to replace that guy. It would really be bad optics, wouldn't it? And Wray went, yeah, that'd be really bad optics. Yeah, thank you, Judas, who was appointed by Donald J. Trump in 2017. So you want to know who one of the other people besides Pence was that was stabbing Trump in the back? Oh, that would be the head of the FBI. And here he is 8 years later, still trying to stab people in the back. What a rotten human being he is.
Thank you, Joe. Chris?
Yeah, I want to bring up another rotten one. Roy Cohn, he was behind not only the betrayal of McCarthy, but likely the assassination of Forrestal. He was aide-de-camp to him and to both. And of course, he was also Trump's mentor. Interesting thing. I think that he was involved with a lot of the money laundering things with HUD contracts and inner city development contracts and through C. Dillon Reed and many other companies. Trump was a front man and also a laundromat for the Jewish and Italian mafia. So, you know, these people really forget these backgrounds. And I think it's part of the distractionary theatrics, the political gentleman's agreement, where the rules of Queensbury are in effect and nobody really dives into these serious issues. They're all talking about Stormy Daniels or Skripal or the Russian Russiagate or, you know, shit that really is irrelevant. And even the Epstein dive, you know, they absolve him of any involvement with this guy and he's pictured with him all over the place. So, you know, Miss Teen USA, talking about wanting to sleep with his daughter. A lot of weird shit, man. You know, you guys release a lot of stuff, and I think MAGA might be even more dangerous than the woke. And, you know, the weird thing is they're so quick and harsh to judge the left and liberals, and they behave in this manner and really, you know, follow the cult more than almost they do in some instances. So, I really am shocked. And I think really the silent majority that really hasn't participated in the election, if they were giving an honest chance and an AIPAC operative or a person that's not on involved with AIPAC on the ballot, that they would probably take their 55 to 60% of the vote and that person would win on a majority. So I don't think we really have to worry about that in this election. They have all bases covered. But yeah, this is really some dirty shit, guys. And really, what's the point of voting if you're just choosing amongst the swamp, you know? So yeah, I'm sorry to go off on such a long one there, but I really think it's important to trace back the military industrial complex. And a lot of it comes from Trump taking Tesla technology with his uncles and even the MJ-12 onto Roy Cohn and the whole deep state breaking away from this and forging itself through the private sector and then using Israel and many other places as a shelter for their not only intellectual property that's developed from murdering people and just taking the wealth and the patent, but also from controlling people by this dual opposition military extortion racket. It's almost like worse than nuclear blackmail, because now you got biowarfare weapons and mRNA recombinants, right? And then, you know, Neuralink and technocratic feudalism. So yeah, you see what these guys have been using, this dark money, the skunkworks money, your embezzled taxpayer money, the debt. You see what they're funding this into and what they're feverishly trying to develop. So instead of taking note, we might have to take action.
Exactly. Oh, we lost Chris there for a moment there. And nobody should be excited about voting for somebody who is a prima facie war criminal, a prima facie COVID criminal against humanity, a bankster looter in the hundreds of trillions. There's no hope there. We would need to have something. Chris is back.
And then we have another little bit of blowback as a result of July 13th. This is at the Conservative Treehouse. The USSS, our own SS group, Secret Service, has ordered DJT to stop doing outdoor rallies. Well, I attended 3 Trump rallies, and outdoor is really kind of an awkward thing because you never know what the weather's going to be like, and then there is that little bit of additional element in security. But by going to those rural locations where there are not big venues, Trump is able to address an audience that is going to be his core support and give them firsthand experience with him that you can't get in a big arena. I saw him in October 2018 at the Toyota Center, which is our basketball arena here in Houston, 18,000 people. I saw him again at the Dallas American Airlines Arena, which is their big basketball arena, 22,000 people. And then I saw him at the Montgomery Fairgrounds in Conroe, Texas in January of 2022. And there was about 10 to 12,000 people there. I can judge crowd size after being a number where it was obvious how many people were there. So bottom line is that one was an outdoor event. It was kind of a blistery cold day, and you know, so that kind of limited it. But it was very much appreciated by the people who feel like they've been neglected by the system. And if all you can do is go to the major cities to see Trump in a major event where you have to get a hotel room and you have to have the additional travel expense and everything else in order to be able to see your president, it limits his ability to be able to bond with the common grassroots people in this country that are his base of support and the basis of support for all of our entire nation. So bottom line is a really disturbing factor that the SS has decided that they would rather sacrifice the ability to have a functional democracy than to try to do their job in protecting the people that are trying to run for office. A disgusting organization.
Yeah, they're going to try. They're going to try. Chris, anything else or move on?
Also add that CrowdStrike was involved with the 2016 infiltration of not only the DNC convention that had a lot of people walk out and protest at Hillary Clinton, but also they filled in and voted for the quorum for her to be the nominee. And also they're the ones that were linked to a lot of the stuff involved with like Trump rally fights, things like that, going to local martial arts centers and trying to hire, you know, ghouls in to do this type of stuff. The crisis actors, so to speak. They're the ones that are hiring people for false flag things, putting ads in the newspaper and things like that. So this is a big fucking deal, guys. And if it's not CrowdStrike directly, they use a third party vendor that's tied to CrowdStrike. So there's some real nasty shit going on with these guys, and it goes to a lot of elected interference type stuff. And even the Dominion voting system and the SBF scam, this is all tied together, guys. And it ties in with the Epstein thing, too, and with the $35 trillion. So you guys want to go after the deep state? Don't bring a controlled opposition insider to fight the enemy. Otherwise, you're going to end up with the same shit we've always seen. You know, the church, the pike, the Rockefeller committees, the House on Assassination Committee, the Kefauver hearings, the McClellan hearings, you know, the Reese committees. This is all just a circle jerk, man. When these guys run in circles, nobody gets busted. Nobody goes to jail. They pretty much pardon all the Israeli dual agents that are involved with the espionage, and nothing ever fucking happens. So, you know, they bust us for pointing it out. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think this is what we got to deal with in terms of the ADL and its PatCon 2.0.
Damn, Rep. It's AMRAP 2, World War 3, and every agency has been captured. The extent of the apparent victory and the historic victory of our opponents has been stunning. And one of the levels of truth I think that people get to is to be able to stand there and see, huh, so they've conquered it all. Impressive. And then to figure out how we're going to respond. Joe.
Yeah, James O'Keefe did a great investigative report on Act Blue and how they use, quote, Smurfs, where they get donors that make a $10 donation. And next thing you know, they've made hundreds or thousands of dollars in donations without ever knowing that they were being involved in it. So the day after Camel Toes announces that she's going to be the presidential candidate, she gets $81 million from 800,000 little donors because everybody in America just loves her so much. And that proves how much everybody loves her so much, because look how fast she managed to get $81 million from 800,000 people. There's got to be millions more that we're going to be sending to her the next day. Yeah, it's all ActBlue manufactured support. Absolutely 100% disgusting.
AstroTurf all day. And you think the what, 81,000 new IRS agents that Biden brought in? You think he's going to investigate those motherfuckers? Not at all.
Yeah, not at all.
not at all.
And we'll talk about that. So is Biden dead? And the real question is, how long has Joe Biden been dead? And you see here the video on the left where he's clearly wearing a mask. I'll play the audio just because it's fun.
North Carolina. And he was a very conservative guy who was very, very...
Oh, my gosh, that's a mask.
African-American.
Holy cow.
He always had fights. North Carolina.
Can't tell me this is normal. Look at his forehead. This is bullshit. That's a mask. That's a skin mask. It ain't normal. Look at it. Bullshit. Can't tell me this is normal. Look at his forehead. This is bullshit.
Yep. And then we have Greg Reese. Where is Joe Biden? And he plays, he's got a couple of the key aspects. So this so-called letter, stepping down letter, different signature, S at the end. So prima facie, that isn't the guy. And then the uploaded audio sample that Cacklin Kamala played, and the result was is that it was 98% likely that it was generated with a bot. And then the things that we were talking about at the barbershop as well is that the apparent differences, including with the ears, the masks, and a golden oldie of the person in charge of these outfits went to President Bush Sr. in a disguise herself, saying that, you know, we got next gen stuff. And this is the lady here, and she was finally released from her security stoppage to be able to publicly share that. And she pulled off her mask in the meeting. But at the time, this was classified, so they scrubbed that out of the photo from the time. But that's what they have. And her take on it now is that, oh, yeah, the reason that they have allowed me to talk about it is they have next-level stuff now. And she pointed out that Saddam also had a lot of doubles. And this one day, they had 26 of them out there all, you know, playing around with his doubles.
Hey, Carl. Not to interrupt, but think about this. Biden literally campaigned with the slogan, Mask Up America, and this motherfucker is probably an imposter running around in a mask, as we were saying from day fucking one, and nobody really believed us at first, but now they're fucking starting to come on board with that. You're starting to see footage, and you're starting to go, holy shit. So, yeah, I think that that's important to maybe point that out and to go down memory lane once again to point out our tremendous track record.
Yeah. We have been putting it out by all evidences that this is a mask, and oh, the depth that it goes.
That's what I'm saying. That's just a sick motherfucker. This is diabolical, man. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. And then you go into who ends up being their spouse to the public and the humiliation and the type of trickery that goes on. You had Big Mike. You have Big Jack Ardern, former PM of New Zealand. You have Big Bree, the husband of Macron in France. It's just crazy. Joe.
Charles, did you see that Muhammad Ali meme with Michelle Obama on one frame and Muhammad Ali's shoulders on the other?
Yep. Big Mike, he was a football linebacker, I believe, or a DB. Either a DB or a linebacker, so he's going to be a big boy. Joe, your thoughts, brother.
Yeah, one of the most disgusting books I ever read was I Was Saddam Hussein's Son, about a guy that was close enough resemblance that all he needed to do was break his front teeth and move them over so that he had the same gap that Yusuf had. And so he was, or Uday Hussein. And man, the stories about the stuff that he was witness to, the executions, just public executions, just taking a sword out and chopping people's heads off for virtually no reason, feeding people to tigers and lions, and watching them being eaten alive. Just absolutely disgusting book. When I got finished reading it, I couldn't wait to take it back to the used bookstore and said, I don't want this in my library because I don't want to actually see it again. So body doubles have been a pretty much standard feature for a very long time. And it looks like we got doubles and triples of the FJB infection.
Yeah. Chris, anything else?
Yeah, I'm just saying these guys got.
Yeah, the guy's name, the author of that book is Latif, Latif Yahia, Yahia. Really disturbing book about the stuff that they did. Can't hear you.
And Rumsfeld and Unlimited cocksuckers selling to both sides of that war. And the Israeli lobby and Khashoggi and all them guys were all involved with that.
Yep. So you have an audio problem?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can. You just turned it back on.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Okay, so...
Striking the nerve, fellas.
No, I think that this is my computer. So just days after the assassination attempt of President Trump, the American Federation of Teachers boss, Randy Weingarten, amps up the vitriol, calls him an existential threat to democracy, and public education is going to be the corporate media for our kids. And here's a 12-part series that I wrote, U.S. Public Education Bullshit Transstupefied Work Animals. But all you got to do is take a look at their own textbooks, and it just speaks out. It just jumps out at you. All you got to do is point. And as well, this is the 2 years of documentation that I have when I challenge their so-called health, so-called orders, and kind of just the ridiculous, the... 2 years of tragic comic district refusals to answer basic and required questions, Orwellian lies, official obfuscations, plus my colleagues taking a knee to propaganda. So we do need friends in high places. Otherwise, we're going to have our children sacrificed to these monsters. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, interesting. Weingarten is a Jewish lesbian, so maybe she's got multiple agendas that or go beyond just teaching kids the three R's. One of the more disgusting facts was that Betsy DeVos was appointed to be head of the Department of Education, which is a completely useless Jimmy Carter created piece of crap cabinet position. And Trump said he was appointing her to end the Department of Education, and he paid her $250,000 for 4 years, and she didn't even fire anybody. Because she was part of the Amway family of Ponzi schemes that made their family fortune. And Trump trusts anybody that's a good enough thief to be a billionaire to be a good enough person to run your government. So that's the kind of cabinet that he put in the first time around. And indications are he's going to put in Jamie Dimon or somebody equally as deficient as Treasury. And some of the other cabinet picks he's talking about at this early stage are equally as defective. So I don't have a whole lot of faith that Trump learned anything from his first 4 years in office. And I don't think he's learned very much in his 4 years of having his office stolen from him. And so I'm doubtful that 8 years on that he's going to be an improved candidate or an improved president, sadly, because I would like to have this bullshit story end.
Chris, your thoughts?
Trump's talking about bringing back like Mike Rogers from the 9/11 witch hunt, the waterboarding guy. He's probably going to bring in what, Jamie Dimon and Larry Fink? I mean, those two names right there. And then you get into JD Vance. Looking at who he's tied with, Peter Thiel. This is, you know, Ambrosia would be a thing to look up if you haven't known already. We've been talking about this for years. These guys are now basically, I think, running this whole
child trafficking network under the guise of busting people and maybe even using things like CPS as a front cover for much of the stuff that they're quote unquote supposedly fighting or trying to stop. So if you ask me, this is entirely more diabolical than most people can understand. It's almost like the controlled opposition dialogue they offer in terms of political recourse and discussion for the concept of abortion. Right to life, right to choose, whatever, right? Do you have the right to choose what happens to your biological material after you leave that center? Do you have the right to choose how much it's sold for and have any claim to that? Or does the company that performs these services claim the entire amount for that? And better yet, what is the value, street value, of some of these things like a placenta or a human fetus or things like that in the stem cell industry? And I do say industry. It's the second tier healthcare that I was talking about, life extension, stem cell, telomere extension. All kinds of stuff they can make people get triple digits in life while we drop that at 50, 60 before we even see Social Security come due. So, yeah, guys, this is what's going on. This is the plan. This is how they're going to run us out and run us down. And if you're not aware of this and fighting against this, then you're probably going to be part of it. And maybe this is how they'll entice people, lure people in, is to give them that carrot on the stick and say, yeah, you can, you know, collaborate and we'll give you a life extension technology. And, of course, they'll fucking just kill you with some bullshit like they did with the Max mandate. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah, trust these guys as far as you can throw them.
They're predators. They'll say anything. We're food to them. All right, next. Meanwhile, with Cacklin Kamala. Tough crowd. Chuck Schumer endorses Kamala Harris for president after successful coup of Biden, and no one claps, even after he asked them to. I'll play these two little clips. They're fun.
Now that the process has played out, from the grassroots bottom up, we are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to.
Ouch. Gets worse.
And become the next president of the United States of America. Applause. Hakeem.
No applause, motherfucker. There is zero chance on this planet that in 24 hours, 880,000, mostly first-time donors, donated $80 million to Kamala Harris, the woman who got less than 1% of the vote in 2020, no votes among the Democrats, has a 37% approval rating and is polling worse than Joe Biden. They are laundering money through Act Blue. How stupid do they think people are? A massive scandal has emerged from the donations Act Blue received on the day Joe Biden dropped out. Reports indicate that $20 million from Swiss billionaire, however you say, Hans-Jörg Weiss, was broken down into 1.6 million donations across 400,000 donors. And talked about what Joe was talking about is James O'Keefe, and that here is that original report and the dummy accounts and the Smurfs, and with O'Keefe going up to people and saying, hey, did you know that you made these donations? And these people, a lot of times just elderly people, being shocked to find out that their name somehow got on there, and that wasn't at all true. Does anyone think it's time to start investigating Kamala's role in coordinating with Jussie Smollett to commit a fake hate crime? Remember, her lynching bill was on the floor in the Senate around that time, and Jussie was wearing a fake news when he talked with police. I think that that's a good idea to look into that. I understand from U.S. Democrats that democracy is on the ballot in 24. Okay, so I would like to vote against Kamala Harris becoming the nominee of my party, specifically after hiding Joe Biden's dementia, cognitive decline. How do I vote to keep democracy on the ballot? That's a good question. That's a very good question. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, Kamala also set up a legal defense fund for all of the Antifa people that were caught doing crimes, which included 30 murders and $1 billion in property destruction. But when they were caught, she was there with the defense teams to make sure that they got either little or no criminal charges from obvious criminal behavior, because according to Democrats, anything a Democrat does is mostly peaceful demonstration.
Thank you, Joe. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, both sides are really having a credibility issue and really struggling with providing the theatrics that will get people to engage in their offerings. I think that maybe people out of despair are picking a choice and trying to do this binary psychology against the enemy of my enemies, my friend type thing. But at the end of the day, I think more people are starting to realize that Israel is running both sides of this thing, and this is like a ground operation. And it's a colonialization effort, and it's around the world. And ultimately, you know, people are, I think, catching on to this, and it only works. These Ponzi schemes only work if you get new people coming into this. And I just don't think that they're going to have people buying into the bullshit anymore. I think they're going to have a real hard time manipulating markets, and they're going to have a real hard time manipulating elections when more than a few thousand people know exactly how full of shit the people are that are on both sides of this. So, yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for them to maintain, and I could see it coming to probably they'll put us into some sort of a war. They'll rush us into that just because there's no other escape for these guys that are on the hook for war crimes.
You're going to try.
A Russian missile hit a NATO headquarters in Odessa and killed 50 NATO operators, including 20 of the British SAS group, which is a really elite group. They've only got 120 of them, but it also injured another 25 in that same group. So now all of a sudden you've got, what, a third of the British elite SAS groups that are going to be getting notices from their family that your loved one is either dead or crippled. And how are they going to hide that from the public? Because before long, people are going to start saying, wait a minute, we're not involved in the war in Ukraine, but here we have all these injured and dead soldiers. Yeah, it's going to keep getting worse for NATO because they've lost this 100%.
All right. Propaganda is very difficult to maintain, like I said, when people see through it.
Yes, yes. All right, more election optics. Now, I didn't remember this. You had Colbert thanking Trump.
Also, we got a great show for you tonight. Donald Trump is here.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him. There's no other way to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump.
Who got the money? Who got the money? Who got the money?
Haven't they? Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Speaking of doing a fantastic job, you are setting the world on fire right now.
Well, we're having a lot of fun, and I think we're hitting some pretty good issues, Stephen. And
I want to thank you not only for being here, I want to thank you for running for president. Because I'm not going to say this stuff writes itself.
But Hampshire and Iowa, no matter where we go, it seems that the response, it just gets better and better. And the polls have been phenomenal.
You see Zogby?
Zogby was great.
33%. That came out today, right? Zogby, 33%. Incredible. I'm not surprised at all. I'll tell you why. Is because
I'm liking him a lot.
No, I'm not. I'm liking you, too. I'm liking you, too. I'm not surprised at all because, especially in the Republican field, because
we have a country, we have to create. Number one, we're going to build a wall. Number two, we're going to.
Okay.
Oh, listen to this. Even with your crowd, I hear.
No,
that.
They love.
But
they,
we want.
They love the wall.
No.
People love the wall. Well, Donald Trump, thank you so much for being
Stephen.
Here.
Good luck.
Thank Donald you. Trump is the leader for the Republican nomination. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, Donald. Thank you so much, Donald Trump, everybody.
I think that happened when they thought he was still an asset in a controlled left-right group. All right, I want to play this part here.
Favorite one-liners of the year so far.
Can I ask you, is there any part of you as a mother of two daughters? This is the man who talked about grabbing women by the pussy. Is there any point, a part of you that feels, this is not my guy? I don't want this guy to be talking like this about any woman at all? Do you not despair for the future in any ways?
Sweetie, I would rather be grabbed by the pussy than have a pussy for president.
A And you're happy with that language?
I'm very happy with that language. Look, none of us are that polite behind closed doors. My girlfriends have ruder language. Real men have ruder language. The gentleman clapping is a real man, obviously.
Real men.
He would have ruder language than pussy. I'm not offended by the expression.
He's no longer in the locker room. He's in the Oval Office.
Sure, and that was a private conversation 8 years ago before he was running. Whilst Clinton was in the Oval Office, of course, Monica Lewinsky was on her knees with Hillary stood right by her. So I don't know if you're going to say that's any better, sweetie, because I don't think it is.
You have to see this. One of my favorite.
That was excellent. Tina Peters, who is now facing 10 counts and 20 years in prison for preserving the fingerprint, the DNA, the blood type of how Dominion rigging voting machines got to the totals of the 2020 election. I'm trying to call back Chris. We lost him. Apparently, he's not able to pick up right now for that. The phone wig it out. And when they compared the two images, they discovered that election records had been. Hang on a second. Let me get to this phone. All right, sorry about that. And when they compared the two images, they discovered that election records had been deleted or altered, 29,000 of them. And she has been arrested for disclosing that information. She reported it as a violation. She got no traction from the officials. So she gave the data to Gateway Pundit and reported the crime, and she ended up being arrested instead. And that trial will be another opportunity for People's Choice. CrowdStrike exposes Arizona. So the day that CrowdStrike went down, so did the election servers in Maricopa County, Arizona. Imagine that. And up until that moment, all of the AG legislature said the voting machines were not connected to the internet. And then liars they are, fools we are not. Shame on you all. You could have stopped the destruction of America. Instead, you kicked the can down the road. Meanwhile, the current trajectory, we are about to collapse like the USSR did in 1991. People of Arizona, get ready to restore the republic. As what people are getting ready for, and until we have some sort of a breakthrough, we're not going to have it, but we are going to be chatting about it. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, since it's been 150 years since we had a war on our own nation's soil, people kind of think of war as a remote thing, and that all it is like Stalin said, the death of a single person is a tragedy, but the death of a million people is a statistic. Well, here's a little statistic from World War One. We entered the war. We were involved in World War One for 110 days in which 110,000 Americans were killed. And at that point, our army did not include very many women at all. So that was basically 110,000 men who were killed, 1,000 men per day. Well, now Ukraine's losing up to, I've seen estimates of some days up to 8,000, but they're losing 1,000 a day. And how much longer can that genocide go on? They're losing 1,000 a day in Gaza. How much longer can that genocide go on? How much longer are we going to allow our planet to be nothing but an absolute butchery for the military-industrial complex and this stupid puppet government we've got? It's time for all of us to put as much pressure as possible to end this particular hegemony.
Thank you, Joe. And that's the ongoing meat grinder that we have. And if you add in the poverty deaths of about a million children every month from preventable poverty, that is the planet that we're on. Ooh, evil. And again, you got to respect the power of our opponent and those predators who have such disdain for any quality of life, any type of relationships, any type of empathy, any type of love. They are predators. Okay, three updates with COVID. Shocking. Every childhood vax fraudulently got approved by cutting corners on required safety testing. The Informed Consent Action Network has detailed how all 17 FDA-licensed shots recommended for kids by the CDC were called safe and effective without ever going through any long-term placebo-controlled trials. No wonder kids are getting hurt. And I think it was yesterday on the show that we were talking about the five studies that show that kids are going to be healthier with no vaccines at all. Dr. Robert Malone, the dark arts, fear, nudging, frame, obstruct, ruse, compel, entangle, seduce. And he's talking about how the nudge campaign to orchestrate propaganda is it's a tactic of war, and that we are under attack with that, to try to coerce us to take and embrace policy actions, things that we do, and that is part of the propaganda of war. A brave German soldier imprisoned in 2024 for refusing COVID vaccination. And this is despite the freedom that Germans should have, just like Americans, under Title 21 in the U.S., everybody is free to decline experimental medical products without any negative consequences. And he attempted to, this is their Department of Defense minister in Germany giving those orders for experimental injections. And this is his story, that he refused to be coerced and rushed and pushed, and he was therefore prosecuted. And that is the state that we have, and hence my position that we do need help from friends in high places, because my personal experience with professional colleagues, my own family members, friends and neighbors, is that we, whatever it is that we're able to do with our messaging, has been insufficient. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, interesting that they tried to force the vaccine based on a 1905 Supreme Court ruling for smallpox. And they were saying, well, the Supreme Court said you could do it for smallpox. Well, the guy that didn't take the smallpox vaccine actually had to pay a $5 fine. So according to the Supreme Court, if you don't take the mRNA, you have to pay a $5 fine, because that's the only punishment they had in 1905. And that law hasn't been updated. But I believe the Supreme Court has since ruled on this, and I'll look it up so we can talk about it again next week. I'll find the actual case. But I think they ruled that mRNA is not a vaccine, that it is a therapy, and the government is not in the position of ordering people to get therapies, that is a completely elective procedure. So once again, affirming that you do have a little bit of bodily autonomy. And it's really strange that the group that goes, our body, ourselves, are so willing to fall in line and give up control of their body to a government that has absolutely no interest in your health or the health of your children.
Go on to final thoughts. Yeah, you think that the hypocrisy would register, but we need a little more help for that to cause any change in the policy and in what we're dealing with leadership and the ongoing situation on Earth that we see of these apparently unstoppable lie-started illegal wars of aggression, and the push for another round of some sort of health orders. And that if the economy breaks, they're going to want to push us into their next scheme. So we shall see. I see it just as a matter of choice. And that's all that we're able to do, is to prompt it. And the three divisions are the good, the truthful, that's us. The bad, the deceitful, those are the people who choose to be parasites. And then the third group is the sheeple. And the sheeple are unable and or unwilling to discern between good and evil. Now, as to going on in the bigger picture, I don't know much of anything. As a scholar, I study a lot. And for 47 years, I have, and I'll put into the show notes here a bit too, the conclusions, the working conclusions that I have of existing in a space opera. And that was at Jim Fetzer's 2023 False Flags and Conspiracies Conference, where I give the overview of what I think is going on. So there's nothing for us to do, I see. And actually, my barber, James, today was saying, I don't see that there's anything to do except just take care of yourself. Be strong. It was amazing hearing the words coming out of him. But he said it's just all theater, and you can't get caught on it. You can't let them suck your energy. And we talked a lot about the principle of engaging in events and activities and with human beings who at the very least aren't going to suck your energy. So at least good luck, patriots, on doing that until something breaks. Just find the opportunity to take advantage over what you have to work with, because all you can do is work with what you have. Joe, final thoughts, brother.
Yes, well, now NASA has another little problem. That's the Boeing Starliner, which has been docked at the space station for 2 months longer than scheduled because they can't undock because they took off with a known helium leak that affects the ability of the thrusters to steer the thing to and away from objects and to bring it back into Earth landing. And they've since discovered that it has 4 hydrogen leaks, so virtually every one of the retro rocket systems on this thing is not working. Musk is not able to scramble his capsule to get up there and rescue the people in the space station. And Soyuz said that we don't have anything planned for our Soyuz until the end of August, and so there's no way we can rush our format to get there, even though there's limited reasons why we should even try to assist the Americans the way we're being treated worldwide. So bottom line is, it looks like NASA may be adding to their death toll, because as of June 2024, there have been 19 dead astronauts. We had 3 on the Apollo 1 mission. We had 2 shuttle missions with 7 astronauts each. And then we had 2 X-15 crashes, which were preceding the space program, but were still rockets fired from a carrier drop, from a drop from a B-52 that went into upper atmosphere and did all the testing to find out what it would take to re-enter and blah, blah, blah. So bottom line is, 19 dead astronauts. We got 2 more that they're saying, we're pretty sure that they'll be able to make it back okay. So who knows? Possibly in the next month, we'll be mourning the death of 2 additional astronauts because NASA and Boeing can't do their job.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Patriots. We will be back sometime Friday or over the weekend with Brian Davidson, professional PI, with more of the news that you need to know.